relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
It was obvious, and this is, it's not even a compliment. You certainly could take it as such, but it's just a fact. You were given a gift, but you obviously have a gift to be that fluent.
Thank you.
With ideas and facts at any age, let alone yours.
Well, when my colleague, I may be Catholic, but he's my rabbi, speaks so highly of somebody, he did even more so in texts he sent to me over the last few weeks. It's not a hard decision to get that individual on the show one-on-one. We are delighted to have her with us for an unfettered discussion. She is a guest host, along with Will Witt of Dennis's show on Salem. And also, she is a PragerU personality. I wonder if that's what it says on her business card. Amala Epunobi, welcome to America First One-on-One.
Oh, thank you for having me on, Dr. Gorka.
Well, look, I have to. When Dennis was just gushing about you when he first mentioned you to me a month or two ago. So I can't wait to have this discussion with you, unfettered, uninterrupted. For those who are not familiar, look, PragerU, very simply, is one of the most influential, most important organizations pushing back on the tyranny, on the wokeness, on the political correctness in America. God bless Dennis. I think you're up to like 3 or 4 billion views already. The fact that you're hosting his show at the ripe old age of, how old are you, Amala?
I am 21.
The ripe old age of 21. I only had to wait till I was 47 to host a national radio show. There must be something there. Let's test the waters. So first things first, for those who may not have tuned in to Dennis's show when you were hosting, tell us a little bit about where you come from, your family background, and most importantly, what your politics were until recently, Amala.
Sure. Yeah. So I was born and raised in a small town in Central Florida, and I was raised by a single mother of three who happens to be a very, very active leftist. So while I'm here working for PragerU, my mom is back in Florida working for the left. She is a fundraiser and works in development for a left-leaning organization out there. So as you can imagine, being raised by my mother, who does happen to be white, I was very cognizant of my race and my gender from a very young age with the leftist ideology and going along those lines. So I grew up to be a very angry leftist for most of my life. I even ended up working for the left when I graduated high school. And of course, that didn't last very long because I'm here now.
So what is, if your mother was white, your father was black, you said you were very cognizant of your race. What were you told was your race, Amala?
Oh, so I was always told I could identify as really whatever side I wanted to, white or black, although I was very much encouraged to identify as black, which again goes along with leftist ideology. And I was told that because I was a black female, that life was going to be a lot harder for me. There was barriers already set in place, cemented into our institutions and systems, that was going to make life a little bit more difficult for me than it was for my white peers.
So in that case, if that was what was drummed into you from the earliest age, if your mother was a hardcore left-wing activist, you ended up assisting her. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Ah, working for the left. I like to say that I have a lot in common with Tom Sowell. When he started working for the Labor Department, he was a Marxist, and by the time he left, he was no longer such a thing. So I began working for the left when I graduated high school, and my job was being a youth organizer. Essentially, what I was doing was traveling around to different middle schools and high schools in my area and indoctrinating young people, talking to them about the wonders of socialism and critical race theory before I even knew that it was critical race theory myself. And eventually, questions arose. I was going into work and working with organizers and members of this organization who were blatantly racist towards white people. So I was going into work for my 8-hour days, talking about how horrible white people were with my white mother, and then going back home to my white family who provided for me my entire life, made me dinner every single day. We sat and talked about our values and our future and my ambitions, and they facilitated that. So I couldn't justify holding those two sentiments in my brain at the same time. And eventually, when I questioned it, I went to the higher ups at my organizations, and they did not want to hear anything that I had to say. So I knew it was time to go.
But I still need to know what it was that made you arrive at that realization, because there's a guy who's also half white, half black, who was president of the United States, and he's a little bit older than you, just had his 60th birthday, I do believe, and he still peddles the garbage that your mother peddles. He still thinks that black people are inveterate victims and that white are oppressive and CRT is a good thing. So, you know, clearly he missed what happened to you. So was there an event? Was there something a person told you? Was there a crescendo moment, Amala?
I would say that there were several events that led to me coming to my awakening. I can talk about one in particular. Now, when the whole Brett Kavanaugh case was happening, I coincidentally was working on a project that revolved around sexual assault and false accusations. There's a documentary called Groveland 4, and where I'm from in Florida, there was a situation where a white woman had wrongfully accused four black men of raping and assaulting her. And this led to lots of turmoil for these four young black men. Two of them ended up dead. And I was working on this project, of course, through the lens of systemic racism. Look at America. Look at how racist it is. Look at this story. And all you black kids should be aware of the evil white people who want to hold you back. And at the same time, in the background of the news cycle, was Brett Kavanaugh and this whole case around him. And I looked at the outrage, the being found guilty in the court of public opinion, and it immediately made me question it. And I'm very grateful that I was working on the project that I was working on at the same time, because I saw what was happening to this man. I saw the distress. I saw the pain in his face when he spoke publicly in front of the American people. And I went to my boss and said, why are we not treating these two situations the exact same? Is it because of his skin color? And my boss essentially sat me down and said, he's absolutely guilty. And when I asked him why, he said, because he's a white man who looks like the frat boy type, he should hang. That's a direct quote.
What happened to be the skin pallor of your boss? I'm curious.
He was black. Yes.
He was black, and he said that a white man, because he looks like a frat boy, should hang. Is that correct?
Yep, that is exactly what he said. And all the while working on this case where we saw four black men wrongfully accused, and because they were black, they should be treated differently, according to him.
That's incredible. I'm sure you're fully aware of it, but for those who aren't, for the millions of listeners we have out there, somebody may not be aware of what triggered, in a good sense, the great warrior for truth, Andrew Breitbart, to go from being, as he described himself in his autobiography, an unthinking, drunken, left-wing student, was the Clarence Thomas hearings. He saw those hearings and he said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it that this righteous, upstanding black man is somehow, a sexual predator. I just don't buy it. And that's how he became one of the greatest freedom fighters for truth and for the right. So there's an interesting parallel there. I have to ask you, Amala, what have been the consequence? How old were you when you made the switch, when you came to the right side?
I was 18 at the time.
So you're 18. So you've had 3 years. What has happened to you? Talk about your family relationships, your personal relationships. What's been the fallout of waking up to the truth?
Oh, it was really contentious when things first began. When I left the organization and sort of came out of the closet as a conservative, as I guess we have to do these days, my mother and I did not have the best relationship. And that lasted for around a year or so, just constant arguments, sheer and utter disappointment on her part when it came to what I believed and my current views. But we've managed to get past that. And now we have a relationship that's better than it's ever been, but it's just devoid of politics. We don't talk politics anymore for the most part.
And then what about friend circles? What happened to the other relations, people who weren't blood relatives? How tough has it been for you? Share a little bit about the last 3 years.
Sure. I've lost a couple friends, silently lost them. They just simply blocked me on all social media, blocked my number, all that good stuff, because I don't think they actually wanted to confront me for my ideas. They had just sort of painted a caricature of what conservatism meant. And since I had labeled myself as a conservative, I was no longer a part of their lives. But, you know, for the most part, I kept my friends, my family relationships have been really well, have been going really well. I think the worst outrage that I got was from the internet itself.
From strangers, you mean?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of it was rather disgusting.
Yes, I think when I waited about a year and a half to even come out online as a conservative. I was doing research. I was watching PragerU videos, listening to Dennis and Tom Sowell and all these great thinkers. And once I had felt comfortable and saw just the sheer propaganda that was happening on social media, I decided to hop online and make videos. And the platform that I chose was TikTok because it was just egregious what I was seeing on that platform in regard to young people and what they were being told and sold as truth. So I started making these short little 1 minute videos about being a conservative, and one in particular got 10 million views. It's a video where I denounced white privilege, and the onslaught of hate that I got was ridiculous. I'm talking detailed death threats, people talking about how they didn't want to see me live anymore, that they wish I would kill myself. It was insane.
let's find that video and let's drop it into this interview. We need to share that if it got so many views, attacking the concept of white fragility. Stay with us for much more from Amala here, One-on-One. Relief Factor. Are you in daily pain? Does it stop you from doing things you enjoy doing? Whether it's just going on a walk or playing with your kids or your grandkids, don't be that person. Try a product which is helping to liberate tens of thousands of Americans from their daily pain. Not just me, not just your host, but people like Leah from Ohio. Listen to Leah's story. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I am a believer 100%. Shouldn't that be you? I think it should. Isn't it time? Have you waited long enough? Do it today. What have you got to lose? Accept the pain. Order your 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call them now. 800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com. Relieffactor.com.
The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty, America First.
Welcome back to One on One with me, Sebastian Gorka, and Amala Eppanobi. So, you are at the forefront. You are probably the newest national personality for this amazing institution that is Prager University. Would you tell us a little bit about... First, because you're in the trenches, will you tell us why Generation Z? What are you?
Yeah, I am Gen
okay.
Z.
So why does Gen Z believe all this garbage? Break it down for us. Is it just the schools or tell us how they believed what you believed?
I think it's a multitude of things. I think schooling is really important. I think that's a big part of it now, although it wasn't such a big part of it when I was younger. But the rise of CRT, critical race theory, and DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, is particularly putting young people at risk to believe this sort of ideology. But I think more so than that, it's social media and mainstream media. What they do is they pull these emotional stories. I'll talk about it in my case. Things like Tamir Rice, Eric Garner, Michael Brown, the police brutality narrative. I was inundated with that narrative by mainstream media and by social media. And of course, you hear these harrowing stories of abuse. And so you'll like a post talking about how Michael Brown was shot and killed for being black, and suddenly that's all you see on your social media feeds. And the big tech overlords are cognizant of that. They're pushing this sort of ideology to young people and everybody on their platforms. So I was getting it from social media. I was getting it from mainstream media. And then I had the brilliant combination of also getting it from my mother at home. And it didn't matter how successful I was as a young black female. I went through school. I was valedictorian of my high school. I worked a job after school. I started my own club at school. I got all these scholarships. I was inquired by Yale to go to Yale. And yet you would have asked me and I would have told you I'm oppressed because I'm a black woman in America. And it's because these emotional stories that do not speak to a larger truth or a larger systemic pattern are so pervasive, and they're able to cut through actual logic and reason when it comes to young people.
So you have just read my mind. This is exactly the question I wanted to ask next. In doing what you do, in encouraging others to deprogram, to exit the world of left-wing radical indoctrination, how much does logic, in fact, matter? Because we, you know, you just gave your example that, you know, it's you like something and then you're inundated. And really that's material that's meant to provoke an emotional response. It's not about logic. So you are now, you know, representing PragerU. You're trying to bring the truth to millions of young Americans across the nation. Is logic even relevant in the primary phases of your engagements?
For the most part, it is, but I've found that we have to work sort of on the same playing field as the left, and we do have to use an emotional appeal to talk to people. So when I talk to people about police brutality, let's say, and somebody walks up to me and says, well, how dare you say that the police are not systemically racist? Look at Eric Garner. Look at Philando Castile. I say to that, an emotional appeal. Do you want young black men believing that they're going through this world being targeted and that nothing that they do will ever keep that target off their back? Do you want that to happen to somebody emotionally? And that strikes people more than saying, well, let's look at the FBI crime rate. Let's look at the statistics here and show you that it's not actually racism happening within our police forces. You have to use emotion in a sense, but I like to couple it with logic because that's what really sticks.
Yeah, yeah. So give us some examples of what's really worked for you. You've mentioned I like this approach. Do you really want young black men to believe that they're just, you know, on the precipice of being hunted down every day by police officers? What else do you find resonates with young women, for example? What is the emotional frequency that helps you start that conversation?
You know, I think there's something truly powerful about knowing that you can be successful and that people are not pitted against you. And the feeling that they are is really, really devastating. There were so many opportunities that I wish I had taken as a young person, but I refused to take because I thought that it was going to perpetuate racism or patriarchy. And nobody should be robbed of that agency in their life. And that is what the left aims to do. So that's what I say to young women. There is a whole side of this country that would love to tell you that you're held back by virtue of being born with your gender, that life is going to be harder for you, that you're held back by a patriarchal society, and that you should just pursue career and ambition and throw away having a family or building long-term relationships with men because they're horrible. And you have to think about the long-term repercussions of that. It's been studied. It's tried and true that women are not as happy when they pursue that sort of avenue. Do you want to be a less happy individual? And why is there a side of the country that would like to convince you to do such a thing? And although it doesn't really break the barrier immediately, I don't think anybody gets out of a conversation with me and automatically agrees with me 100%. It's all about planting little seeds of doubt in somebody's mind. And once you've planted that seed, it's not going anywhere. And eventually it's just going to keep growing and growing and growing until they feel the need to find the truth. So that's what I try to do, is just plant seeds.
Yeah, I've said it often that that's one of the most useful things you can do, is just get people to question, just a little bit of doubt, and then perhaps that becomes a snowball. You mentioned young women. Talk to us. What are you seeing when it comes to the culture of life versus the pro-abortion culture? I see great headway occurring for conservatives. Do you also see the same? Are we finally, after 50 years, winning this debate?
Mm, I've got to disagree, at least when it comes to young women my age. Being tuned into social media at the rate that I am is showing me that I don't think we are truly changing at least young women's minds. I can't tell you. I could pick up my phone right now, go on TikTok, and show you hundreds of pro-abortion videos that are being put out by young women and liked by to the tune of millions and millions of people who are commenting and supporting them. So I feel like young people still have an attachment to the idea that they should be able to get an abortion, not just in the beginning phases of pregnancy, but at any stage in pregnancy. And that is a right. Look at the outrage that we saw with young women around the Texas abortion bill. And I don't see us truly breaking that barrier, because it is a tough barrier to break. It lies on what we define life as. And if you can't change somebody's mind on what they define life as, it's a really tough battle to win.
Yeah, well, we're going to follow you very closely. We are very impressed already. She's Amala Epunobi. Follow her. She sits in for Dennis Prager on his national show. She's also the co-host, along with Will Witt, of Will and Amala Live. If you enjoy our one-on-one discussions, like the gentleman that came up to me at our great event in California the weekend, who said, you know, I love that third hour one-on-one, then support us by supporting those who make it possible, like the great Mike Lindell, another truth teller, the inventor of MyPillow. It is my secret to a good night's sleep. The pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape, guaranteed for 10 years. 51 million sold. They're so good. President Trump loves them. My whole team uses them. Use my name and Mike will give you up to 66% off. That's MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. K.A. Back with Amala after these messages. Gun Owners of America is the only no-compromise gun lobby. From battling the Biden administration's radical anti-gun agenda to restoring your constitutionally protected rights in the states, GOA's grassroots army, led by a friend of this show, Eric Pratt, is ready. GOA has a proud 45-year history of defending your Second Amendment rights without compromise. GOA's mission is simple: to protect, defend, and restore the Second Amendment. For just $25 a year, you can take an active role in the protection of your rights. When you join today by visiting gunowners.org/GORKA, you will receive a free gift. So help protect the Second Amendment by joining Gun Owners of America right now at gunowners.org/GORKA.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
Welcome back to One-on-One here on America First. Amala, I have to ask you this, given your parentage. Talk to us, or tell us, what is your message to young Americans who go on Black Lives Matter marches and who believe that this is an organization that's going to bring justice to America? What is your explanation to them of what BLM really is?
Ooh, I have a lot to say on this matter. If you know me, or if you've heard me, you know that I have a BLM fist tattooed on my arm because I was that much in support of Black Lives Matter. Don't let your 16-year-olds get tattooed. I was attending BLM protests whenever they were happening in my home state of Florida. And what I will say is, just take a deep dive into Black Lives Matter and tell me one thing that they've done to actually help the Black community with the millions and millions of dollars that they have amassed. I can tell you about the real estate properties that their leaders have bought. I can tell you about the different families of police shooting victims who have not seen a dime of the money that BLM has garnered from their protests and their riots in our streets. And they can tell you about all the different Black businesses that were taken down and destroyed, all in the name of George Floyd in that summer of BLM riots. So I can give you an entire list of the ways that Black Lives Matter has wronged the Black community and failed to address actual issues that are happening in the Black community. Yet I don't see a list of any good that they have done, any progress that they have made when it comes to race relations in America. And what that proves to people, especially young Black people, is that their interest is not your interest. They're not in the interest of keeping you safe. They're not in the interest of making you successful. They are in the interest of destroying our institutions, and they will do that by whatever means make it possible for them to do it. It has nothing to do with the saving of Black lives. So don't be fooled by these organizations who claim as such.
And when you hear organizations like BLM and Black Allied Associations or student groups call for the actual segregation of colleges, do you understand what's happening there, what the logic is, that which Martin Luther fought against is now being embraced by so-called Black equity activists, Amala?
Right, and they don't care about that. Look at the push for equity and affinity groups, where we are essentially going back to Jim Crow legislated segregation. You have to look at those two things. Just look at them in parallel and see how similar they are. But the different vein is the emotion behind it. They love an emotional appeal. Black people, Hispanic people, not really Asian people, because I guess we don't advocate for Asians.
Right.
But we are so oppressed that we need to be held separate from our white counterparts. That's what's going to make us feel better. We need to have Black-owned businesses on our Uber Eats app. We need to have a Black category on Netflix and Hulu for what you can watch, because holding us separate is what's going to make this country better. That's what's going to strengthen our relationships between people of different races. How you could look at what's happening in the world right now and justify that sort of thinking is beyond me. But it is very reminiscent of Jim Crow America. And if you have a side that is advocating for that, ask them why. And I find you'll find some nefarious reasons behind that.
Are conservatives doing a good enough job of pushing back? What I mean, can a white conservative like me say anything about BLM that will have an effect?
You can, and I think it's just about the framing that we do it in. And I think that's why I decided to enter the conservative movement and actually start speaking, is because when I went online, the people that cut through my indoctrination and my brainwashing were very kind conservatives who sat down and said, I understand why you feel the way that you feel, but here is the objective truth. Here is the fact. Now, there are lots of conservatives who have very big platforms who don't do that. They're not necessarily compassionate. In fact, I think they lack very little empathy for leftists and leftist ideology. And I think by virtue of being in my position as a former leftist, I can give a lot of empathy towards the left. I understand exactly why they feel the way that they do, but I also understand why that feeling is wrong. So I think in the conservative movement, we just need to have a little bit more compassion, although it's hard because the insanity is progressing at an alarming rate. It is insane.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about that whole compassion issue, because it does affect the method with which we choose to respond to the insanity. If you're listening to One-on-One, if you approve of truth tellers like Amala, please support a good friend of mine as a personal favor to me, another truth teller who the left wishes to destroy. He is, of course, America's mayor. He saved New York from the crime bosses in the 1980s and then helped it get its feet back on its feet after September the 11th. The left is trying to cancel him, strip him of his law licenses, and charge him with all kind of spurious charges. Please go to RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com. Support a great American in his hour of need. That's RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com. Do you miss President Trump? I know I do. And now I'm coming to you with a very special offer from my team that you do not want to miss from President Trump. Now is your chance to enter to win one of six signed photographs of the president, which were hand-signed by President Trump and soon could be hanging up in your house. When President Trump signed these photographs, he wanted to make sure all of his supporters had the chance to receive one. And now is your chance. All you have to do is text FHOTO, photo, to 55404 today for your chance to win a beautiful photograph of President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump, hand-signed by President Trump himself, by texting PHOTO to 55404 right now. You will get exclusive double entry activated by my team for a limited time. Again, text photo to 55404 to have your name entered twice to win a hand-signed Trump photograph. You don't want to miss this. Our contest ends soon. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
From the ReliefFactor.com studios, this is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back to One-on-One with Amala Eponobi. You mentioned that you have compassion, Amala, for the left, for the people who have been indoctrinated, because that's where you came from.
Yep.
My question is, given what they are doing to this nation, do you have compassion for those who don't have compassion for them? Because when you see the open borders, when you see the state of black families, I mean, more than 70% of black children born into one-parent homes, when you see the tens of millions, the figures for those aborted, murdered in the womb, tens of millions of black Americans, it's hard for me to have compassion for those who are literally destroying the fabric of their fellow Americans of any skin color. Shouldn't this be an all-out political war where we just create a crisis in confidence and where they look at themselves finally one day in the mirror and they say, yeah, that was crazy?
Yeah, I can see where somebody might think that. And I will say, I lack very little, I have very little compassion for the elites and the bureaucrats in our country that are perpetuating these narratives. And I think it's important to differentiate between the elitists who are well aware of what they're doing and in the end result of their policy and their legislation and what they advocate for, and the average everyday leftist that you run into on the street who supports Black Lives Matter or open borders. I think there's people who know exactly what they're doing. They know the turmoil and the horrible results that are going to come of what they advocate for. And then there's people who think that they are operating out of compassion and that they just don't get the scope of what they're advocating for. And that was me. And I think leftism and wokeism is a beast born out of empathy. It is born out of empathy at its heart. At its very foundation, the average leftist thinks that they're doing something right. They think that they're advocating for people. They think that they're going to change the world. But I have to have compassion for that because it was me. And if I had not gotten the information that I'd gotten, if I had not woken up, I would be that very same person. And I think everybody is reachable. So that's why I stand where I stand.
I'll just say one thing. Communism was born out of compassion for the downtrodden of the Industrial Revolution, and it led to the deaths of 100 million people. Even aspects of fascism was born out of maybe not compassion, but an exploitation of those who suffered as a result of World War One and the various reparations regimes put on the losers of World War One. So at the end of the day, just because it's a positive vision of equality, if it leads to mass murder, genocide, the Holocaust, I'm not sure I can allow that to temper my response, especially as the child of those who were persecuted both under communism and then who suffered under fascism before that. But hey, everybody gets to make their own choices. Let me ask you a topic that is perhaps the most disturbing of all. It doesn't, BLM's bad enough, but the transgender agenda. When we hear the stories here in Virginia of a young girl who was raped by a quote-unquote transgender male student in a restroom, and then he was quietly transferred to another school so he could rape again, do you have anything to say on this issue? Because I think this will be perhaps the most provocative in making people wake up. You see the school board meetings, this radical agenda denying the truth of a man is a man, a woman is a woman. And the fact I find very, very telling that the majority of these transgender cases are amongst very young girls. There's this group dynamic, there's this clique dynamic that they feel to stay in the clique, they have to go along with this agenda. Where do you stand on this issue? And how do you see it in terms of being the catalyst for millions of people waking up?
Oh, I think it speaks to just the broader sense of what the left is, and that is blurring the lines of what is naturally true, what is objectively true. They do that with law. They're doing that with gender. They're doing it with race. They're doing it with everything. And I do think that the transgender issue is going to be a catalyst for waking up a lot of people because it affects children so strongly. And the indoctrination is so strong and intense when it comes to children. And it's disgusting. It's disgusting what's happening. And they are simply ignoring all the facts in the study around transgenderism. I understand that if somebody feels confused and is experiencing gender dysmorphia, that is a really horrible thing to be going through. I can't imagine feeling that confused in your brain. But to advocate and to expose children to that and essentially make them confused about these things, things that they would have never been confused with had you not initiated that confusion, is a disgusting thing. And when we look at the rates of attempted suicide and successful suicide with transgender people, even those who have gone through long-term hormone blockers, sex replacement therapy, hormone replacement therapy, the rates remain the same. So obviously the treatment that you are advocating for and the culture that you are advocating for is not doing any help to us, to real biological males and females, and it's not providing any help to people who actually experience gender dysmorphia, because those people do exist. Why would you push that on children knowing the results that it could have? It is truly disgusting. And that story out of Loudoun County is going to be one of many. Here in California, what they've advocated for is now male inmates who identify as female can be transferred over to female facilities. And in one case, they've actually transferred a female serial killer over to a female prison. So a man identifying
as a man who is a man who says, oh, right, today I'm a woman. Yes, right. He's a serial killer. Yes.
It's even confusing me at this point.
Well, that's the whole point. It's not funny. That's the point. That's the whole point, to get you to a point where there is, where you don't think there is objective truth. You've just nailed it. That is the essence of what they're doing.
Yep. It's exactly right. If they can blur those lines of gender and of law and of our country's founding and our institutions and our systems, if those lines are blurred, guess what? They get to draw new ones. They get to destroy everything that's ever been created, everything that's ever worked, everything that we're trying to conserve, and build something new in its stead. And it's a horrible mindset to have. And as conservatives, we are just trying to understand this world, conserve what's good about it, and get rid of what's wrong. The left is just trying to control everything. And if they can't do that, they will destroy it until they can.
Yeah, absolutely. Follow this lady, Amala Epunobi. That's AmalaEkPunobi. Amala Epunobi on Twitter. And even as important, if not more important, support her organization, PragerU.com, Fighting the Crazies, Fighting for a Republic. That's PragerU.com. That great American patriot, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get great discounts on all of his MyPillow products right now if you go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Special. Get deep discounts on MyPillow's mattress toppers, towels, and so much more, including the amazing sheepskin line slippers with the MyPillow foam. Mike is offering a buy one, get one free offer on his Giza Dream Sheets of finest Egyptian cotton. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Specials for the buy one, get one free offer on the Giza Dream Sheets. Enter promo code GORKA or call 1-800-829-8468. That's 1-800-829-8468, promo code GORKA.
Making sense out of today's nonsense. Here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
And we're back with Amala Eponowi of PragerU. Will you talk to us, Amala, about the importance of everybody demonstrating individual courage?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's the most important thing that you can do right now. There are so many of us that recognize the insanity that's happening, particularly in the United States, but not just in the United States, in the world. And we recognize it and we do nothing. I can't tell you how many people reach out to me and Will and send us messages about how hard it is to live where they live or to see everything that's going on in the world and how hard it is to stay silent. And to that I say, why are you staying silent? There's no reason for you to be silent. If anything, now is the time more than ever to speak up, because we're eventually going to lose that right to be able to speak, and we're losing it on a day-to-day basis. So people need to be courageous, and they're so scared of what's going to happen to them in the here and now. They're scared of being a parent alienated at their PTA meeting, or their kids not getting into school clubs anymore, or being fired from their job. And of course, that's a very scary thing to have to go through, especially when you're trying to provide for a family. But you need to be scared of what's going to happen down the line if you don't say something now. That's what you should be scared of. We need to have courage. And it's an exhausting fight. It's an uphill battle. But who said that life was supposed to be devoid of being tired? You need to fight. And now is the time. So please be courageous. Please speak up, because you have to do it or nobody else will.
What's your final message on any theme, courage or anything else, to those who are listening? We have listeners across the nation, from New York to California to Washington, D.C. We have international listeners. What's the one thing that people should keep before them in these trying times, Amala?
Regardless of what you feel, regardless of what ideology you subscribe to, we should all accept that people have individual liberties and freedoms. And there are a bunch of people in this country, particularly our elites and our bureaucrats, that are trying to limit everybody's freedom. I don't care if you're a conservative. I don't care if you're a classic liberal. I don't care if you're a leftist. They are trying to take control of your freedom and your liberty, your personal choice, your God-given right. That should never be allowed. We should never advocate for that. And you should speak up about what's happening right now, because we have countries across the world that have gone through this before, and millions have died, millions have lost their lives, and a lot of people are not going to feel the weight of what's happening right now until the military boot kicks them in the butt. And that's an unfortunate thing, and I hope we don't make it to that time. I hope we don't make it to the point where the United States is starting to look like Australia. But the seeds are being sown here, and if you see those seeds being sown and you don't tell everybody and alert people about the snake in the yard, it will be your fault. So speak up and be courageous.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. And all I'll end with is my good friend, my rabbi, Dennis Prager, was right about her. Follow her at Amala Eponowi. That's AmalaEkponobi. And support PragerU, PragerU.com. God bless you, Amala. Keep doing what you do. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.